This is Arlita Little reading Sit In. This morning, I'm at the intersection of 38th Street and Chicago Avenue with Zinzile Isoke. We are members of the Black, Indigenous, and People of Color Sangha for Direct Action, a diverse group of practitioners from meditation centers and meditation circles around the Twin Cities. Since the murder of George Floyd 2 weeks ago, we've been at this intersection twice. We also meditated and held space in the grass at Elliott Park, across from the chapel of North Central University, during George Floyd's memorial service. It's 8 a.m. on Sunday. I'm surprised to see so many people here already. Amidst the people setting up tables and positioning vehicles to unload foodstuffs and other donations, a group of 20 or so volunteers are receiving directions on how to clean up around the site, how to pick up and rearrange flowers around the murals, what to throw away, and what to leave. A new sculpture has been installed at the center of the intersection since our last sit. Now, a large brown abstract fist mounted on a raised base is surrounded by a wide circle of flowers and hand-painted signs, some reading, "Say His Name," and "We Are Better Together," and "Justice for George Floyd." The street sign for Chicago Avenue has been covered over, renamed George Floyd Avenue. Zinzile and I find a spot on the west corner of the intersection. Behind us, another large wooden fist leans against the bus shelter, and at the curb 15 feet away rests an empty baby carriage draped in white lace. We spread our blankets in a U-shape and position our cushions on the blankets facing Cup Foods. Across from a large black and white plywood mural showing the shadows and contours of George Floyd's face. This mural marks the site where police officer Derek Chauvin and two other officers held George Floyd down while Chauvin's knee stayed on Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds while he cried out, "I can't breathe." Zinzile leans a cardboard sign against the transit post. The sign reads, "Come, sit with us. Justice for George Floyd, BIPOC Sangha." I ring a bell, and we begin a chant for the suffusions with the divine abidings from the Thai Force tradition. I will abide. This chant invokes loving kindness, compassion, gladness, and equanimity, all in abundance, without hostility and without ill will. After the chant, we sit. Each meditation will be 10 to 20 minutes, and we'll be here for a couple of hours. We sit still and focus on our breath. The cloth mask that I'm wearing over my nose and mouth, protection against the spread of COVID-19, causes my glasses to fog and clear and fog again. My eyes are open and directed downward toward the blacktop. On the street in front of us is a stylized tag with George Floyd's name. A strong, intermittent breeze blows dried flower petals, dust, and ash all around us, up onto our blankets and over our legs. A woman approaches the intersection, talking loudly about Jesus and reciting Bible verses. Volunteers sweep and reposition bouquets while one of several Black women organizers calls out, "Make it look pretty." By the end of our first sit, more people begin to arrive. Friends walk slowly around the intersection, discussing the news, talking about change and what it should look like. Families with young children bring fresh floral arrangements and stand looking at the carpet of flowers and handmade signs that extends down each arm of the crossroads. On 38th Street, a well-dressed elder stands opposite a sign that reads, "Police, now it's your turn." With the cadences of a preacher, he talks to a small scattered group that stands and listens as he details the logic of dismantling an approach to public safety that fails to accomplish its purpose. After another sit, we break to stretch our legs and greet a young Black woman who came to sit with us. We exchange names before Ingia stands, brings her palms to touch in front of her. She has cut silhouettes of Africa dangling from her ears. She thanks us and returns to her friends on the other side of the intersection. A portly man walking by meets our eyes and says, "Namaste. The divine in me greets the divine in you." We reply in kind. Two women in hijabs and abayas approach us. One of the women asks, "How long will this be going on?" "It's the community that's doing this," Zinzile answered. "So, I guess as long as the community keeps coming." "This is all different people. There's no one group organizing it." The draped women speak to each other in a language that sounds like the wind over the surface of water before they smile at us, nod, and walk on. After another sit, the lady reciting Bible verses comes over to us. She is white and wearing motley layers under her open terry cloth coat. We introduce ourselves, and I ask her name. "I'm Marilyn. I live next to the Sheraton. They tried to burn down the hotel last night," she begins. "They evicted the homeless out of it last week. Last night they tried to burn it down, but some neighbors stopped them. They called the cops, but the cops said they weren't going to come." "Didn't the owner give them permission to turn the hotel into a sanctuary?" I ask. "He did. He's from Qatar. But he didn't give them the keys, so they couldn't lock the doors, and some bad gang members came in. They couldn't lock the doors to keep them out. And last night they came back and broke in and were stealing out of the place, and they tried to light it on fire." I had driven through the Midtown intersection at Lake in Chicago on my way here. Buildings on two of the four corners of the intersection and several down each block were completely burned out and caved in. The Sheraton was there, 8 blocks north of where the three of us stand. We begin to get ready for our next sit. "Good to see you here," I said to Marilyn, who remained standing. "I'm here every day," Marilyn offers as she steps away, still talking. "My friend Conrad planted a garden over there. See?" She points. My eyes follow the curb about 20 yards away, where a large rectangle of dirt covers the blacktop with plants arranged in neat rows. "I don't know if he's watered it. He needs to water it. I don't know if he has. Maybe I should water it." She moves behind us to engage some others standing to the side of the bus shelter. The streets are barricaded in all four directions. Signs on the transit post and shelter say that buses will not stop here. I ring the bell, focusing again on my breath, breathing here where George Floyd could not. Collectively, we offer our breath and stillness to the movement. Behind us, Marilyn begins to recite the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A breeze catches a small bouquet of dried roses still wrapped in plastic. The bouquet slides slowly across the street and comes to rest just in front of us. In the tradition of Vipassana, or insight meditation, we practice being present with life as it is. In sitting practice, we breathe in and out, training ourselves to remain present in the moment and in the midst of the movements of our lives. Some practitioners believe that the next manifestation of enlightenment will not be in the form of the transcendent consciousness of an individual, a Buddha, or in the transmission of an enlightened teaching, the Dharma. Some believe that the next manifestation of enlightenment will be embodied by the Sangha, the community. I inhale and exhale. We inhale and exhale. A wind gathers strength and blows through the crossroads.